John chapter 4. I realize that I'm skipping a lot of John chapter 4, which is really important, but I wanted to just hit on this praise aspect. And so we have this woman. Let me go ahead and read, first of all, verses 19 through 26. The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is a place where one ought to worship." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for the salvation is of the Jews. The hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. Amen. For God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in the spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all these things." And Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." Let me just pray right quick. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, I don't have a great command of the language much anymore. It seems like it's gone away from. Father, you don't need me at all. You take your word, and by your spirit, you apply it to the hearts of your people. Amen. And that'll be enough. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Amen. This woman said, she started off by saying, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet." This is not really important for now. It'll be important at the beginning and at the end. She calls him a prophet. The thing that's ironic about this is that she believed, as a Samaritan woman, she believed only in the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. And she said, "I believe that you're a prophet." Like Elijah? No. Like Isaiah? No. Like Daniel? No. Like David in the Psalm? No. She only believed in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. That was all she held. She was a Samaritan woman. That was all that she held to. So this would be a prophet like Moses. A great man of God. She perceived that. She says, I perceive that you are a prophet, one like Moses, one who God was going to send, and he will tell us these things." So this is important. I think it's important that she, for the reasons that she's listening to him. Then she says, "Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is a place that we ought to worship." Let me go ahead and read to you a couple of verses. Deuteronomy 11:29 says this. She says, "Now it shall be, when the Lord your God has brought you into the land which you shall possess, you shall put a blessing on Mount Gerizim and a curse on Mount Ebal." So whenever God brought them into the land that they were possessed, they were to put the blessing on Mount Gerizim and the curse on Mount Ebal. This is considered to be Mount Gerizim. Whether it is, I don't know. I think it is, yeah. And another verse over there is 12:27. Is that right? It is. Thank you. 12:27. "And the place you shall offer your burnt offerings and your meat offerings and the meat on the blood on the altar." Is that right? No. Okay. Anyhow, it seems like it's supposed to be 29:12. Let's try that. if that didn't get it, we will go on and we will take on that you may enter the... Well, okay. Trust me, there is a verse there. And it talks about them putting the mountain, putting on the mountain of Gerizim the blessing. And when Moses came through, and when the people came through, and they would announce God, and they would announce the blessing of God, they would read the law of God. And all of the people on Mount Ebal would say, curse, curse, because everything was a curse. If you didn't do this, it was a curse. If you didn't do that, it was a curse. And then everyone would say, blessing, blessing, blessing on Mount Gerizim, because God would say, if you do this, it's a blessing, and if you do that, it's a blessing, it's if you do this, it's a blessing, and that, it's a blessing. It was all a blessing. It was all a blessing to God. That's the way this woman perceived worship. We worship on this mountain, you Jews worship in Jerusalem. Well, which is right? See, she was confronted with some, and she was confronted with her own sin. And that's when she brought up this idea of worship, and she thought she could deflect from herself. And Jesus said, it's all wrong. It's all wrong. And if you could only know that how to be right, our fathers worship on this mountain. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming, and now is, when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. Everything is new. Everything is new. Don't miss that. Everything is new. The way of salvation. There's a new sacrifice. It used to be blood of goats and wolves, John 1:29. And that the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. It used to be blood of goats and rams and lambs. And now the Lamb of God was a person. They were missing this. They weren't catching this. The Lamb of God was a person. There was a new temple in town. A new temple in town. A new temple to be... I'm going to just read. Jesus answered and said to them, destroy this temple and I will raise it up in 3 days. But the Jews said, it has taken 46 years to build this temple, and will you raise it up in a few days? But he was speaking of the temple of his body. He said, destroy this temple and I will raise it up in 3 days. It's going to be there's a new sacrifice. There's a new temple. This temple will be restored in 3 days. There was going to be a new birth. Amen. There had to be a new birth. John chapter 3, Nicodemus. Nicodemus came to him by night and he said, Master, we know that you're sent from God. No one can do the miracles that you're doing except that God be with him. And Jesus said, assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water, he cannot enter the kingdom of water and spirit. He cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. Now, don't get too confused by born of water and the spirit. He's making a clear distinction between being born of the flesh and being born spiritually. Being born spiritually is what we're leaning on here. There is a new birth that's required. There's a new sacrifice. There's a new temple. There's a new birth. And in the first part of where he's talking to this woman at the well, anybody remember what leads up to it? He asked for a drink of water. Yeah, at the well. And she says, what are you doing talking to me? I'm a woman. Not only that, I'm a Samaritan woman. And he says, if you knew who I was, who it was that's speaking to you, you would ask for me a drink of water, and I would give you living water. You drink this water, you're going to get thirsty again. You drink the water that I could give to you, you'll never get thirsty again. There's a new sacrifice. There's a new temple. There's a new birth. There's a new water. Jesus said, it's all things new. Jesus said, he said, it's wrong to think on this mountain or on this, in this city, you have to worship. I'm telling you, the hour is coming. The hour is coming. The time is coming when it's neither in Jerusalem, nor on this mountain that you are going to, worship God. He says, you worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Now I'm just going to, save this, let me do this. Believe me, look in your Bibles. Believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship Father. You worship what you do not know, for we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Now there is a definite article there. The salvation. You see, if you know a little bit, but you don't know it all, you can't truly worship. True worship comes from people who know the true salvation of the Father. What does it say on the sign? Out there, next door, down the road. What's on the sign? Now, I understand that what's on the sign is somewhat important because it tells you basically what you can expect to find inside, although that may not be true anymore. But what's on the sign isn't important. What's on the sign doesn't matter. The salvation that saves, the salvation that brings salvation to all people, is what matters. Yeah, what's on the sign anymore doesn't matter. It really doesn't. Cheryl and I went to New York this past May, something like that, June, something like that. When was it, Cheryl? Huh? No, we went to New York. Could you say that a little louder, please? I don't remember what month it was, but I remember that we went to New York. We stayed in a hotel right across the street from the First Baptist Church of Albany. Yeah. I was going to Albany. Looked them up online to see what time it started. I don't even know what to say. A gay man was a worship leader, music leader, and everything was pride and everything was about gay. And so you can't always tell anymore from the sign. It was good to be back in Texas where I could, judging by, you could go by the sign, but you can't tell anymore. You can't tell by the sign anymore. What's on the sign doesn't matter. It's what's happening in your heart. It's what matters. It's what's happening in your life. It's what matters. It's what's happening in the spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. God's spirit is necessary. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And it's necessary. You can go through the right motions and still not be worshiping. Amen. You know, you can clap your hands. We got more claps today for worship. I hate to say this, but you know, clapping is not a sign. It's not a sign that you're worshiping. And raising your hands isn't a sign that you're worshiping. Being perfectly still and falling on your face before God isn't a sign that you're worshiping. Now, all of those things are okay. All of those things are fine, as long as they are being prompted to you by the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit is telling you to clap your hands, raise your hands, if the Holy Spirit is telling you to fall on your face, then do it by all means. But you can do all of those things or any of those things. You can stand there quiet and still, and you're not really worshiping. What can we do to worship? I don't know. I was thinking about this a while ago while we were worshiping. I don't know. Try to get a picture of Jesus going to the cross in your mind and just focus on it. How many times when we're worshiping, we're just somebody up here will catch our attention and we're just look away. Don't look at them. Just try to get a glimpse of Jesus and focus on him. Just try to get a glimpse of God and focus on God. It's spirit and in truth. Truth is associated with God versus not associated with God. It's kind of the idea of good reality versus a lie. And I think that that's the truth of it, except that it's the truth. The reality is the truth that's rooted in God, that's rooted in his son, Jesus Christ. John 6:68, Jesus had just finished preaching a hard message and he people started leaving him. He was building a crowd and people started leaving him. Who's this guy talking about eating his flesh, drinking his blood? This is not for us. And he turns to the disciples and he said, Are you going to go too? And Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. You have the words of eternal life. They are the words that bring life to us, and they are the words of eternal life. The truth is in Jesus. I'm going to read to you a couple of verses. Romans 1:25. Who exchanged the truth of God for a lie. Truth, lie. Truth of God for a lie. They worshiped and served the creature rather than creator who is blessed forever. Amen. The truth of God for a lie. They worshiped and served the creature instead of the creator. It's, you would think, well, that's okay. The creator created the creature. No, it's not okay. It's the creator, the one who is to be worshiped. Ephesians 4:21. I don't remember this one. 4:21. And indeed, you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Amen. The spirit and the truth. The truth is in Jesus. Amen. The truth is not associated with our reality or what we think reality is. It's in Christ. The truth is in his gospel. In Ephesians 6:14, he says, standing therefore, having girded your waist with the belt of truth. And this is the armor of God. And he's describing the armor of God. And the belt was the thing that held all the others in place. And it was the gospel. It is the salvation of Jesus Christ that holds everything else in place. 1 Corinthians 5:8. Back up. Going the wrong way. 1 Corinthians 5:8. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Now, I know that doesn't specifically use, it uses leavened and unleavened versus worship and not worship. But he says, let's take the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth, and let's worship in sincere. Let's be sincere in our worship, and let's do it in truth, because the truth is in the gospel. The truth is in Jesus. The truth is in his gospel. And in 6:13, John 6:13, one more there, we will... Can't do it. 16:13, excuse me, I meant to say, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not seek his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will guide you into all truth, but he will not speak of his own authority. He will guide you, the Spirit of truth. He will guide you into all truth. This Spirit is the one that's going to show us and tell us and guide us into that truth. It's not a physical body. The hour is coming and now is when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship must worship in God in spirit and in truth. It's not a physical body. It's a body that has the right attitude about spirit, about worship, and about the truth. It's about believing in God and his sovereignty. He is sovereign God, the God who's able. He is spirit and truth. And it's about having that right attitude. It is an attitude that is truly biblically centered. It is biblically centered on God. It is biblically centered on him. That's spirit and in truth. I wish I could help us understand. I'm going to try to help us understand more in the coming days about what truly worshiping in spirit and in truth is. But just know that for now, I shouldn't say it. I think that we're missing it. And I think that if we will only open up our hearts to God, that we will get worshiping in spirit and in truth. Even if we are getting it, we're just barely getting it. I told you, she said, I know the Messiah is coming who is called the Christ, and when he comes, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. Look in your Bibles. Look at that verse, verse 26. Look in your Bibles. Everybody have your Bible open. You see the word he? It's in italics. You see that? The word he's in italics. That means that that word's not really there in the original language. And it's he said, I who speak to you am. I who speak to you am. That's a saying for I'm God. When in Exodus, when Moses asked God, what's your name? You tell them, I am sent you. Amen. And there are places in the New Testament, I am. He said, I that speak to you am. He's saying, I am the Father. I am the one who you're waiting for. I am going to take away your sins. I am going to be the temple that they're going to build enough. I am the birth, the death, the burial, the resurrection. I am this new water that you need so that you can live. I am. I am. I am. Amen. And Jesus said, come. Would you stand with me? I don't know where you are this morning, where you stand with Christ, but I know that He's calling you. If you stand outside, He's calling you to come in. He's asking you to come in. He is inviting you to come in. Whatever you need to do this morning, you do it while we sing. What are we going to sing? It is well with my soul. Great worship. Let's sing.